You're listening to episode 152 of the Tell Your Story Better podcast. Hello and welcome to the Tell Your Story Better podcast. My name is Isolde Trachtenberg and I'm super happy you're here. Here is where I explore public speaking, communication, engaging an audience, and finding your voice. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Tell Your Story Better. My name is Isolde Trachtenberg, and I'm really glad you're here. I'm specifically excited because this week's episode has a lot to do with being glad about other people. Here's what I mean. More and more, our interactions with the outside world versus sort of our internal monologue have been fascinating me. Certainly, you can learn from books and wise or sometimes not so wise teachers. I know, for example, for me, books have been and continue to be instrumental in shaping my thoughts and ideas about life, the world, nature, the human condition, the galaxy, music, and just about any subject that catches my interest. And I've had the privilege of being taught by some of the best teachers ever. I was blessed, for example, by a high school music teacher whose style, when I teach, I still emulate to this day. Mary Alice Powell challenged us, inspired us, encouraged us, guided us to be better than we could have ever imagined. And when I teach, in any way, workshops, classes, it doesn't matter, I try to do the same thing. More to the point, MAP, as we called her, she challenged us to ask questions and be curious. And I try to do that to my students as well. I try to help them develop that sense of curiosity about the topic we're talking about. Because frankly, if you're not curious about it, you're probably not going to pursue it after the couple of hours we spend together. So with music, MAP, Mary Alice Powell, helped me learn how to be curious about all of the nuances and all of the details. She taught me how to look at a piece of music, assess it, learn about the life and ideas of the composer, the current events of the time when the piece was written, the voicing, the meaning of the lyrics, in other words, what the composer and lyricist might have been trying to convey, both explicitly and on the down low, the phrasing, the cadence of the music, the emotion behind the piece, and the intent of the person that had performed the definitive version of it, if we could find it. See, she wanted us to not just know the piece. She inspired all of us to be intimate with it, to grok it, if you will, to our innermost depths. And nowadays, when I talk with my students or even friends about how they listen to music, many respond that they go for the melody first and then only later do they listen for the lyrics. Many don't bother with the lyrics at all. In fact, there are websites devoted to the mishears of lyrics. One of the most famous is Manfred Mann's version of Blinded by the Light. That's a Bruce Springsteen song that Manfred Mann actually did a cover of and made pretty famous in the 70s. The singer was so out there with his enunciation that many of us have no idea to this day what the lyrics are. And in fact, my husband thought the song wasn't Blinded by the Light, but Blind Date's Father's Knife. Yikes! It's a completely different definition. See, when I was a kid, lyrics were harder to come by unless you could afford the album. But once I started buying them, I became an avid lyric reader. I still am. I'll read the lyrics, the liner notes, everything about a piece if it moves me. And I'll Google the information and more to keep learning about what might have inspired the writers for writing and musicians to perform it the way they did. MAP helped me cultivate that curiosity, and for that, I'm going to be forever grateful. And it's great when you're lucky enough to have teachers, good teachers, but after you leave school, often you're on your own to satisfy your curiosity, to learn, and to know more about what inspires you. That's where books, classes, more schooling, the internet, and other sources come in. And don't get me wrong, they're great. But what I'm most curious about today is when someone says something off the cuff that blows you away. So I'm not talking about you going out and seeking learning. Rather, Something that just gets said to you. Someone says something and it blows you away. See, they aren't trying to say anything profound or poignant. They're just talking, but their words, or the way they say them, rock your world. Have you ever had that happen? Have you been talking to someone and heard them say something seemingly benign, but had it blow you away? I love it when that happens. And here's one of my favorite examples of it. Many years ago, my boyfriend John, our friend John, and his girlfriend Pam went on a ski trip together. Now, I'm not a big skier. In fact, I'm a diehard devotee of the bunny hill. Plus, I have terrible knees. So skiing was never going to be one of my passions. But everyone else wanted to go, and I'm game to try new things, so off we went. Pam was a fine skier. John and John were both advanced, and I stuck to the bunny hill. And I mean stuck to it, because every single time I skied down it, I fell. I ended up on my butt without fail, and this went on for hours. You might imagine I got frustrated. One of the times I fell, I made it almost to the bottom before I went ass over tea kettle and landed in a heap on the snow. Tears flowed down my face, and I swore I would never ski again. Instead, I'd head in and spend the rest of the weekend reading books and drinking hot toddies. Just then, my friend John skied up to me with perfect control. "Hey, Isolde," he said. "How's it going?" "It's going crappy," I grumbled back at him. "I've fallen every single freaking time I've skied down this hill." "Yeah, I didn't say freaking, but this is a family show." "Yeah," he said, "I know what you mean. It can be really frustrating to keep falling." "What do you know about falling?" I asked him. "You're an Olympic class skier. You never fall." "No," he told me, "I fall every time I ski. If you don't fall when you ski, you're not skiing hard enough." With those two sentences, he blew my mind. He blew my mind. He and I've talked about this, and he's amazed I remember it. It's just the way he approaches skiing, and also, I believe, his life. So it wasn't a really big deal to him. But to me, hearing that at age 19 was life-altering. "Why, yes," I thought at the time. "Absolutely, that's it." Have you ever had one of those moments where something happens and it defines a core idea about life for you? You might see something or be part of something that alters the course of your life. For some of my friends and colleagues at NASA, seeing their first sunset that they can remember inspired them to study the sun. Another was inspired by lying around and describing what shapes the clouds were taking. And now, she's a cloud scientist. Another one helped a baby bird as a kid and decided to become a veterinarian. Not at NASA, of course, but a veterinarian nonetheless. For me, hearing those words solidified my need to push my boundaries of what's possible, to take what limits I thought I might have and disperse them. And that's it. In many ways, that's exactly how I've lived my life since that moment. And I swear I'll continue to do that until my dying day. Now, John couldn't have known what profound effect his words might have on me, but I'm awfully glad he said them, because they changed my life very much for the better. And that all just goes to show that what we say can deeply affect the people who hear them. We can use words to heal, to wound, to educate, to inspire. So it makes all sorts of sense to use them wisely to communicate our ideas and thoughts with care and attention. However, John wasn't trying specifically to be careful with what he said, although he's a very considerate and compassionate person, but rather he was just describing something that to him came naturally. So it also makes sense that if we have something to say, we should say it. But then where do we find the balance? How do we say what we believe and still maintain an awareness of how our words might affect our listeners? I can't help but think it must be about perception. If we've listened to the people we're speaking with, if we know their perspective, or believe we do, then we can feel safe in knowing how to speak and respond to them. if we don't know, then I think it behooves us to build some of those listening skills so we can be of benefit to the people who hear us as much as possible. So that means intent is everything, doesn't it? If we intend to inspire, we'll speak differently than if we intend to heal or to wound or to educate. So that goes back to that idea of internal monologue. We have a never-ending string of thoughts and words and images running through our brains every instant, and that process informs our perspective and therefore our intent. For myself, I was born to educate and to solve problems, so that's almost always my perspective when I interact with anyone. As an aside, I think now that I need to do an entire series of episodes on how to figure out what that great strength, what that life purpose is. I've started exploring it a good bit in my studies of the concept of ikigai, which is a Japanese concept of life purpose. And in fact, if you follow me on Instagram, and even if you don't, head over to Instagram and look for my IGTV episode just from yesterday, so very recently, all about ikigai, all about how to identify your life purpose. There's a sort of a little, it's not a flowchart, it's more a graphic that you can find, or you can look on my Instagram feed, also at Isolde T, and locate that graphic and also watch the IGTV episode all about that, because it will help you define that life purpose and figure out how to move forward based on that definition. So knowing my strengths, my great strengths, and my purpose, it informs my perspective. And that is the point of view of the word stream going on inside my head. The trouble comes up when my natural inclination to educate bumps up against someone else's natural inclination to do things the way they want or need to. And heck, we all have that right, don't we? Everyone has their own perspective on how things ought to be done. Our job when we're working together or communicating with each other is to figure out how to navigate that landscape together towards whatever goal we have in common. And how funny that that brings me back to intent. Before we can work together, we have to know what our intent is inside ourselves. Before we can articulate it to anyone else, we need to know what it is for us. And once we know that, then we can work as part of the team. And that becomes the lesson, doesn't it? How do we figure out our intent? Personally, I do it through journaling and meditation. I set myself questions before every meditation session, and then I meditate on nothing and see what bubbles up. If you want to know how I meditate, by the way, I use a couple of nonsense words to hush down the language center of my brain so I stop thinking so much and rather just exist for a little while. See, I'm an overthinker. I tend to go into analysis, and that's language. But in order to get back into my subconscious mind, which does not think in language or words, it thinks rather in images and feelings, I need to get rid of the language part for a little while. So it really helps me get myself, out of my sort of over-analytical thinking brain for even a few minutes a day. It helps me figure out thorny problems, and it gives me really fun and cool ideas on art, writing, and new ways to be. And once I meditate, I move right on to my journal, because there I get to write down what I just meditated on. My journal is one of my own invention, and if you want to see what it looks like, I'll put a JPEG of it in the show notes. I write in the journal every day, and I've added in a check-in in the morning and evening, as well as a gratitude list and a project list so I can get all of those cool ideas down on paper and make them grow and hopefully eventually flourish. So we have all these different ways of handling our intent. We all do it differently. We all connect to others differently. We all communicate with others differently. Since we never know how the things we say will affect others, I'd love to see us all know that intent before we speak our words. That way, we'll speak them more naturally and convey our true meaning. Because it's really true that we never can know how our words will impact our listeners, but if our intent is pure, then I'd say we're golden. See, because I think our intent helps us understand our connection to people and helps us know what we're trying to achieve. In my mind, ideally, we're trying to achieve connection and compassion, tolerance, and enjoyment of each other's purposes and paths. That's how I look at it, and that's what I try to do when I work with any of my students. I try to help my students find their paths in a way that feels bountiful, abundant, pure, compassionate, and inspiring for all of them. And then they go out and reach down and help pull others up. To quote one of my favorite books, the great Sherry Tepper's Gibbon's Decline and Fall. If you've never read that book, please go out and get it. It's a speculative fiction, and it's a little, I admit, a little disturbing, but it's a wonderful look at working together in community and how to help others thrive. A few years ago, I was at a Panera Bread company doing some work before a workshop I was about to go teach. And I do this project I call Overheard. I am a shameless eavesdropper. I admit it. I listen in on cool conversations people are having, and then I write them down. Eventually, I'll have enough for a book, and I will absolutely publish it, because some of the conversations I've overheard have been, again, life-altering. People's offhand comments can impact, can affect, can change, can inspire, can create magic and beauty in the people listening, even the people who aren't in specifically on that conversation. And one such time, I overheard a mom and her roughly 7-year-old daughter talking. The daughter said, "When I grow up, I want to help animals. I want to be a zoologist and a superhero." Without missing a beat, her mom said, "Honey, if you're a zoologist helping animals, you will be a superhero." Yes, of course, as an animal lover, I'm super excited about a child who wants to help animals. And I was even more excited about this mom whose intent seemed to be purely to encourage her child. She didn't naysay, she didn't talk down to her. She just told it like it was, and her intent came through loud and clear. Love, encouragement, and just a little bit of a challenge to her daughter. As a fellow human, I absolutely couldn't ask for any more than that. So, what about you? I'd love to hear from you about any profound statements, especially those that someone said off the cuff, just describing something or saying something, that have changed your life. What is that principle that you got out of it? What did you learn? How did you apply it? What happened? I'd love to know. Comment below and let me know, or drop me a DM on Instagram or on Facebook. I really would. It would be really interesting for me to see what are the seemingly innocuous statements that people say that have such a great effect on people who overhear them. If you're a 7-year-old girl, or if you're a 51-year-old woman, or a 37-year-old man, it doesn't matter. We all have something to teach and something to learn. And because of our obviously different perspectives, because we're all individuals, we all have something to teach. And if we're coming from that place of great intent, then again, we're golden. So please let me know, and I will maybe do an episode on any of those stories that I hear from you. And in fact, I am, just so you know, looking for creators to interview on this podcast. Coming up in the next few weeks, I have the wonderful actor and impressionist Jim Meskimen and the equally wonderful head of she's a co-creator of the Acting Center in LA, Tamara Meskimen. Yes, the last name is the same because they are husband and wife. They're both wonderful people, and they graciously agreed to be on the podcast. I'm going to have authors, I'm going to have video editors, I'm going to have any number of people who are going to come on and talk about how they use their format, whatever it is, whether it's writing, video editing, music, doesn't matter. but how they use it to communicate. Because remember, we're all telling stories with everything we say and do. It just depends on who's listening or watching. And because we're all telling stories, each of our stories is equally important, equally vital in how we learn, grow, and thrive. Thanks so much for joining me today. I really appreciate you being here. Please subscribe to the podcast if you're new, and please tell your friends about the community we're building here. Today's episode was produced by Isolde Trachtenberg and is copyright Isolde Trachtenberg 2018. Today's music was from Kevin MacLeod, Laser Groove, and Ave Marimba, brought to you by Creative Commons License 3.0. As always, please remember this is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Past performance does not guarantee future results, although we can always hope. Until next time, I send you all of my love.